Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, Oklahoma. Happy Friday. You guys ready for the Memorial Day weekend? And remember what Memorial Day weekend is. Matter of fact, I want to talk about that just a second. It's to honor those that gave it all in our military, and it's just one of those deals. But I seen something yesterday. Randall Crow from up in Hammond, everybody knows him. They lost a cousin who was a combat medic in Vietnam with the 173rd Airborne Brigade. Edward Paul Wilson, born in August 2nd, 1943, passed away May 17th in 2026. His wake was actually Wednesday, and funeral was yesterday. So, condolence to the family of Edward Paul Wilson. Like I said, he was a combat medic in Vietnam War with the 173rd Airborne Brigade. And it's, our Vietnam, we've lost, I think, just almost all of our World War II vets. And we have some Korean vets left alive. And, it's starting to take its toll on the Vietnam era veterans. So, keep the prayer of... Keep them in your prayer this weekend as we celebrate Memorial Day weekend. I know everybody likes to go to the lake and go camping and do all kinds of stuff, but please remember that our veterans that we have lost in combat, that's what this is, that's what it's for. So there you have it. So some people got rain last night, but before we get to that, let's talk about some temperatures. Right now, Altus, Oklahoma, you are the hot spot in the whole state of Oklahoma at 76 degrees. Hollis is 72, Eric 72, Cheyenne, home of Cash Daddy, is 69 at Woodward, 69, I lost my train of thought, Goodwill out in the Panhandle, 67 at the May Ranch out here in the Texas Panhandle, 72 degrees at Lipscomb, 66 degrees at Dozer, 71 at Childress, 77 at Odell. There you have it. Okay. Well, the board is down again on the extended limit on cattle. More about that coming up next segment, but I found out kind of the reason why the board's down. So in other words, the boys in Chicago are just looking for a reason to bring the market down. And we talked about the Cargill shutting the gates at their meat processing plant in Fort Morgan, Colorado. That's their excuse, from what I'm understanding. Them shutting that down is just their excuse to bring the board down the limit. So we'll see how the cash does at Elk City today. I'll stop by there after the show and see what's happening with the actual cash market, because it was down 9.25 yesterday and it's down that again today. So we'll see what's happening. All right, let's see what happened in our big old world of agriculture overnight. Oil futures also were higher overnight as a potential peace deal between the U.S. and Iran ran into a few obstacles. That's shocking. The countries have reportedly disagreed over Iran's stockpiles of enriched uranium and control of the Strait of Hormuz. U.S. benchmark West Texas Intermediate futures were up 1.9%, while Brent crude, the global standard, was up 2.6%. Also, soybean and grain prices overnight was a favorable export sale report from the Ag Department. Soybean sales in the week through May 14th totaled 351,400 metric tons, up from 102,000 metric tons a week earlier, and a 62% increase from the prior four-week average. And John Doe country bought 171,900 tons of U.S. beans, Egypt 59,000, Indonesia 44,000, and Malaysia 22,400 tons. Corn sales also jumped, rising to 2.13 million metric tons from 684,000 tons a week earlier. That's up 71% from the average for this time of the year. Japan was the big buyer at 779,000 metric tons. South Korea, 463,000. Mexico went there, 342,200 tons. Wheat sales also climbed to 166,300 metric tons. That's up 25% week over week and 28% from the average. Good news. Japan took 98,300 metric tons of U.S. wheat, Panama 60,000, and a John Doe country purchased 30,000 tons. Soybean futures for July delivery came up 5 cents to $11.99 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was unchanged at $328.40 a short ton, and soy oil added 0.49 cents to 74.36 cents a pound. Corn futures up 2.5 to 464 and 3/4 a bushel. Wheat futures for July delivery added 1.5 cents to 649 a bushel in Chicago, while Kansas City futures were up 2.75 cents to 689.75 cents a bushel. Red meat output in the U.S. declined in April despite record high pork production, according to the USDA in its monthly report. Commercial meat production totaled 4.46 billion. That's not million, that's billion pounds last month. That's down 3% from April. Pork production was 2.35 billion pounds. That's up from 2.35 billion or 2.34 billion same month last year. That marks the highest level on record since April. Beef output was reported at 2.1 billion pounds. That's down from 2.24 billion at the same point last year. Veal production in April fell to 1.5 million pounds from 2.1 million. And lamb and mutton output dropped to 10.4 million pounds from 12.8 million pounds. So red meat production from January through April total is crazy. 17.7 billion pounds, down 2% year over year. Pork output since the beginning of the year was up 1% to 9.4 billion, while beef production dropped 6% to 8.24 billion pounds. Veal production plunged 25% on an annual basis to 6.6 million pounds. Lamb and mutton output in the first 4 months of the year was down 7% to 43.7 million pounds, according to the USDA. National Weather Service outlook through our farm belt. Severe thunderstorms are possible in eastern Nebraska and western Iowa this afternoon, and some thunderstorms in central Indiana, and that's about it. According to the Mesonet, yesterday looks like most of the Oklahoma Panhandle and the far northwestern Oklahoma all got a little bit of rain. Some places got an inch, some places got 3/4, some places got 4/10, some places got 0.03, but you did get a little rain. And then down in Jackson County and parts of southern Greer County, and what county's Tipton in that area? What is Tipton in? I can't even think about it. Up at Granfield. They all got somewhere between 2 and 3 and 4 tenths. And some areas east of Altus got an inch to 1.5 inches. And then, of course, you go over here to I-35 and look east. Them guys were getting anywhere from a couple tenths to half inch to three quarters. Some areas up by Tulsa got 5 inches. Some areas down in there by McAllister and Clayton and Wilburton, 3, 4, 5 inches. Hopefully we get one of those here in tomorrow night from what I'm hearing. We'll see. My hopes are not. So we need somebody to do some rain dances. And maybe I need to call Randall Oldcrow and see if he'll beat the rain drums for me. How's that? Yeah, we need some rain, man. Just keep your fingers crossed and keep a positive attitude. And we'll see. I know it's tough. So there we have it. Okay. Today is the Wheeler General Store happy hour. If you got anybody sees Nathan between now and the morning, ask him who he's got paired up with in the Kiwanis Club golf tournament at Sayre tomorrow. He's not happy. So he's blaming that on me. I ain't got nothing to do with it. So So check out the Wheeler General Store over in Wheeler, Texas. Not that far over there, and they got a lot of really good stuff from hardware to cattle tack and horse tack and feed and tubs and fertilizer. You know, they got 3 trucks over there that apply fertilizer, so they got it going on over there. All right, let's take a Wheeler General Store break. We'll be right back.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay. It wraps it up, is better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Sweeter Country is coming your way. June 5th, live in concert, Aaron Watson, straight out of Amarillo, brings his signature sound to Sugar Creek Casino in Hinton. Get ready for a night of authentic country music, high energy, and the songs you love. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the show starts at 7. Get your tickets now, starting at just $29 at sugarcreekcasino.com. Don't miss Aaron Watson, June 5th at Sugar Creek Casino off I-40, exit 101.
The lessons that taught me the most didn't come in my college classes. I've learned a lot about business by working at the bank, and I've learned a lot about banking by owning businesses. When both are done right, they sure can help each other. Helping new businesses get off the ground and start growing is just about my favorite thing to do. I love it. I'm Kyle Kilofer at Great Plains Bank in Elk City, member FDIC. When you're ready to talk business, come visit with me. I may be able to help.
You don't want to let your cotton set in the field day after day waiting to be ginned. Now, to better serve you, the cotton farmers in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, Lone Star Gin has processed over 540,000 bales of cotton. They've got locations in Pampa, Texas, and now in Burns Flat, Oklahoma. Lone Star Gin has the ability to process over 2,400 bales per day. All they do is gin cotton. Go to LoneStarGin.com for more information, and you can find them on Facebook.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 15th. 1,902 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 325 brought 635. 14 at 441 brought 537.50. 9 at 637 brought 421. 19 at 651 brought 430. 8 at 681 brought 365. 6 at 737 brought 377.50. 3 head of heifers at 403 brought 480. 4 at 454 brought 465. 10 at 540 brought 4 413, 11 at 612 brought 371, 9 at 638 brought 387, 55 at 733 brought 340, 64 to 815 brought 334, butcher cows 133 to 184, butcher bulls 140 to 236, bred cows 1550 to 3850, pairs 2900 to 5300, Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Wheeler, Texas, here is your Lipscomb Dealerships Ag Weather Update. Your Lipscomb dealers here in Elk City, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and GM. And over at Sayre, we got Ford. Let's see. So check them out. And buy local. That's what I always say. Buy local on everything. Seriously. 68 degrees in Wheeler, humidity 71, dew points 59. The winds are out of the south at 8. With wind gusts at a whopping 11. Peak wind gust today, 24 miles an hour. 8-inch soil temperature, 67 degrees. All right, let's see what's going on with the grains real quick here. Let me update it, make sure it's updated. Right now, Kansas City wheat, July 680, down 6 3/4. September 691, down 6 1/4. Wheat out of Chicago, July 645. Down 2, September 658, down 2.5. Corn for July 462, up 1/4. September's up 1/4 also at 468. Soybeans, July 1196, up 2.5. August 1195, up 2 1/4. Soybean oil, July up 28 at 74.15 a pound. Soybean meal, July 331.80, up 340. August is 324.40, up 190. Oats for July, 362, up 2. September, 371, up 2.5. Cotton, how come they just can't put that with the grain so I don't have to go over and looking for it? July cotton is 77.45, down 53, and October, 79.50, unchanged. Livestock, I don't even want to look at this. Well, it's a little better than what it was an hour ago. They're bringing it back up a little bit. Yes, live cattle are in the green right now, actually. June, 249.70, up 55. August, 240.02, up 67. Feeders for August, 350.35, down 6.17. September, 347.47, down 5.90. October's 344, even. Down 562. It was down the limit a while ago, an hour ago, when I looked at it. Lean hogs, June, 95.40, up 27. July is 112, up 10. Yep, up 10 cents. Energies, let's see what's happening there. Not much going on there. July's 96.37 a barrel on NYMEX. Up 2 cents. Natural gas around 289, down 12 today for June. And there you have it. Okay. Screw worm. We haven't talked about the screw worm in quite a while. So I want to go over with this. So the USDA is expanding its New World screw worm surveillance as cases are on the rise in Mexico and the sterile fly supplies stay limited. It says here the number of New World screw worms reported in Mexico continue to grow, prompting USDA officials to intensify surveillance and carefully manage the limited supply of sterile flies used to contain the pest control or spread. USDA says sterile fly dispersal efforts are currently concentrated along the Gulf Coast of northern Mexico, and with additional drops occurring within roughly 50 miles of the Texas border. Officials says the agency is relying heavily on modeling that they're doing and real-time surveillance data to determine where those flies are deployed. I seen that what's his name from Texas was back on the news on RFD TV this morning, and he's not happy. I mean, what else can they do? You can only produce so many sterile flies. So right now we are dropping flies mostly on the Gulf side, the northern Gulf side of Mexico. We have about 50 miles of these flies that are being dropped over the U.S. border in Texas. And so when we've made these decisions, we look at a variety of different databases on modeling, and we predict, we forecast, kind of like weather, and we access the based on a variety of different things, which includes the temperature, the humidity, the altitude, and all the different aspects, as well as looking at data that we get from, number one, cases that Mexico actually shares with us, as well as, number two, data that we get from traps in the area as far as surveillance. All these things come together and help us determine where is the best use of our flies and how we can distribute what is a limited number that we have at this moment. So the USDA says those decisions are being made in correlation with the agency's, coordination with the agency's Ag Research Service using predictive analytics designed to anticipate where the pest could spread. Good luck with that. So there you go. So out of curiosity, I looked up what you can actually use for treating them. What's approved? How's that? I guess you can use anything you want. So Detrimax CA1, we call it DEC, is injection. That's approved. And Exolt, say that right, EXZOLT cattle CA1. It's pour on stuff. And it says here, it's treatment of control of the cattle fever tick in beef cattle 2 months of age and older, and replacement dairy heifers less than 20 months of age. Emergency use authorization of animal drugs, according to this, is number one, Ivermec. And then there's a F10 antiseptic wound spray, and then an F10 antiseptic barrier ointment. And there's a powder out there, and of course, Dectamax CA1. So those for emergency use only. So in case you wanted to know, in case you got a New World screwworm in your area, we never know. It's been here before, so we just got to keep our eyes out open with that. Coming up in the next segment, I'm doing Pete's Pick of the Week, and I'm also going to be talking about the forgotten tractor, the Heston tractor. Actually, this article is pretty cool. It came with a connection to Ferrari. So more of that going on, and then that's about it. We'll talk about tractors coming up in the next segment and Pete's Pick of the Week. So be right back after this Wheeler General Store break.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I am a personal banker. That's my title. When you come in, I'm going to help you open your account, decide what type of account you might need. You're kind of going to tell me your needs. I'll tell you what we have that will fit your need. You have to have a valid picture ID and Social Security card. That's it. It doesn't take very long. I would say 20 minutes. Depends on how much we start visiting. I'm Tammy DeGarmo, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Farming is no game, but when you're at the game and have the ability to control your irrigation in the field, it's a huge game changer. Valley Irrigation is where farming meets in-zone efficiency. With AgSense remote technology, farmers become MVPs of their fields. Real-time play-by-play control means you're always ahead of the game. Score big with irrigation technology from Valley. It's technology that improves your life and lets you beat the game and be in the game. Visit Knutson Irrigation to become the MVP of your field. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. They have your infield coverage and your back.
Gary Ray here, formerly with Ware Chevrolet in Wheeler, Texas. I've had a lot of folks ask me where they should go to buy a new car or truck now. I'll tell you, Lipscomb Chevrolet GMC in Elk City, Oklahoma. We've known them for years, and they'll go above and beyond to earn your business. Right now, they've got a great opportunities for buyers after a recent hailstorm. They've got slightly dented pre-owned and new cars and trucks priced to move. Stop by Lipscomb Chevrolet GMC in Elk City or visit them at LipscombChevroletGMC.com. Together, let's drive.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work, but yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Kent Watkins here with SE Agritech in Elk City. Are feral hogs and gophers destroying your land and crops? We have the solution. Introducing Caput Feral Hog and Gopher Bait, engineered for maximum efficiency and safety. Protect your fields and restore your property with Caput. And we sell out-of-state customers as well. Stop by and give us a call at SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook for all the latest updates and information.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right. Interesting. Got some interesting. I had an interesting question. I had to Google it during the break. So now I got to come up here and get my weather done here. Let's go to Freedom, Oklahoma for your Lipscomb Dealership's Ag Weather Update for Northwestern Oklahoma. 72 degrees right now. 62 is dew point. Humidity 71. The winds are light out of the south at 5 miles an hour. 78 one-hundredths of an inch of rain in the last 10 days. 71 of that come in the last 24 hours. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 73 degrees. Sunset at 8:42. Chance of thunderstorms, 30% today at 78. Tonight, 55 for a low and 80% chance of thunderstorms. And tomorrow, 77 for a high and 40% chance of rain showers. And no thunderstorm, just rain showers according to this. All right, let's go to Pete's pick of the week. And it's a sprayer from the sale or from for sale by owner Gems to Retirement Sales in Iowa. See the latest prices on Kubota, John Deere, and New Holland equipment through Pete. This week's Pete's pick does not come from an auction company, but rather from a for sale by owner section on machinerypete.com. A Hardy Ranger 2000 pull-type sprayer with fewer than 1,000 total acres is for sale at a starting price of $29,500. What the farmer seller did well, according to Machinery Pick, is explain why he's selling the sprayer. Machinery Pick, Pete, not Pick, Pete, also lists some other items from this section. So, a 2022 Kubota L3302 HST tractor, 160 hours, starting price of $27,000. An H&S BTR power unload bale wagon and trailer with a starting price of $3,200. a 2017 New Holland 27P platform with a starting price of $6,000. So, according to this, it says for sale by owner, and this sprayer's in New York, by the way, just listed, like new, Hardy Ranger 2000 pull-type sprayer with a 60-foot boom, less than 100 or 1,000 acres, total use on it, many options. I talked with the owner, seller, super sharp rig here, according to this on that. So, I'm trying to find out where this deal is, where he explains why he's selling it. And it's not on here. Anyway, we'll go through here. So, on May 16th, in Hull, Iowa, farm retirement auction by Zomer Company Realty and Auction featured several noticeable sales. A 2016 Massey Ferguson 7719 with 6,239 hours on it sold for $77,500. A 1981 John Deere 4640 with 10,344 hours on it and 4,000 on an underhaul and 3,000 hours on a new turbo sold for $23,000. A 1973 John Deere 4230 open station with almost 10,100 hours on it and 5,000 hours on an overhaul sold for $18,000. And I ran one of these. John Deere 6620 with 3,642 hours sold for $8,500. On May 17th, there was a collector estate sale by HM Auction Group, had several items that caught Machinery Pete's eyes. One of them was a Ford 4600 diesel utility tractor with a custom blue cab and 5,900 hours on it, sold for $6,100. And a 1962 Zazi, is that how you say that? Z-A-S-I, industrial restored gas, sold for $6,200. And a 1953 restored Minneapolis Moline UB gas sold for $2,850. And then a New Holland 273 baler sold for $4,250. So I'm looking at this picture of this custom cab on that Ford tractor. It's definitely custom. You get a chance, get on AgWeb or Farm Journal and go under Machinery Pete and check out these pictures. It's pretty interesting cab he put on there. There's no aerodynamics involved in that one. So, Machinery Pete recently attended John Kessenbaugh's partial collector auction in Williamsburg, Iowa. There was a 1969 Massey Ferguson 1130 tractor with 4,220 hours on it sold for an eye-opening price of $50,000 or $50,250 be exact. Machinery Pete describes the condition of the tractor as just looking like you wanted to eat dinner off of it. Interesting. Let's see here. What else have we got going on here? Oh, here we go. On the latest Machinery Pete's TV episode, Pete's Vault recalls the story of a 1992 John Deere 4960, just like the one I got, had only 14 hours on it. The tractor, which was featured on Machinery Pete's TV in 2013, sat outside the Ohio's owner's machine shed for 20 years with trees growing around it before it was finally sold. Oh, man. And they're showing the video of that tractor. We got trees growing up. It still looks like it's in really good shape, but the trees were growing up in it. What a shame. That's where you got either you're just don't have any sense or you got more money and you know what to do with. Not sure what's going on with that. All right. You guys ready to talk about the, whoa, there it is. This forgotten Heston tractor came with a surprising Ferrari connection. Every once in a while, a tractor shows up that makes you stop and recalibrate a little bit. Not because it's the biggest or the rarest or the one everybody wanted back in the day. sometimes it's interesting because it sets in this weird little overlap between a pretty darn capable tractor, and how did we not see more of these? I remember seeing those. Man, they just wasn't the prettiest tractors, I didn't think. So this is where the Heston 980 lives. By the way, if you're scratching your head about the whole Ferrari thing and the title, stick with me. We'll get there. Depending on where you are in the world, you might know that this tractor is a Fiat 980, or in it's in single or front wheel assist or without. The 980 DT here in North America, though, it wore Heston's decals, not Fiat, because Fiat was trying to use the name and dealer network of the well-known Kansas Hay and Forage Company to get a bigger foothold with American farmers. On paper, the 980 was not some odd little imported toy. It was a 90 PTO horsepower, six-cylinder cab-equipped tractor with legitimate fuel capability. The Nebraska test put it at 91.12 PTO horsepower and 74.93 drawbar horsepower. So this thing was right in the meat of a useful chore, hay, loader, planter, light tillage, tractor class. But the market doesn't always reward the tractor that makes sense on paper. It said here, Fiat's tractor story goes back a lot farther than most American farmers probably realize. The company has been working on the tractor development before World War I, then finalized its first serious tractor effort after the war. The Fiat 702 came out in 1918, and the Fiat Trattori SPA was founded in 1919. By the late 1920s, Fiat was moving more than 1,000 tractors a year. In the 1930s, production moved from Turin to Mondana, and Fiat started building crawlers, which became a major part of its identity in Europe. That's what makes Fiat Heston's story interesting. In the U.S., Fiat tractors felt like an unfamiliar import, name attached to a familiar hay equipment badge. In Europe, though, Fiat was not some fringe player. It had decades of tractor building experience, a strong reputation in crawlers and utility tractors, and by the late 60s and 70s, it became a serious force in the European tractor market. The momentum eventually led into the 80 series, introduced in the mid to late 70s. It was a broad lineup that included smaller models such as the 580 and 680s, worked through the 780, 880, 885, and 980, and continued into larger tractors such as 1180, 1280, 1380, 1580, and 1880. It was also a very European-looking lineup. And that was not an accident. Fiat leaned into more integrated finished design, while styling helped for the world famous Italian auto designer Pininfarina. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. In 1977, Fiat took over Heston, giving the Italian company a way into the North American market through a brand farmers knew, Heston. Wasn't known here for tractors, but it was absolutely known for hay equipment. The problem was timing. The farm economy was getting shaky, and Heston sold a controlling interest to Fiat to avoid bankruptcy. The Heston 980 was sold in the United States from 1981 to 1984. I don't remember who was over there between Foss and Clinton back in those days, like 82, 83. They had one. It was cool. But I really like my John Deere 4840 and 4240. I'm not going to lie. And it said at the top of Heston's 80 series mid-range tractor lineup, the 980 was available as a two-wheel drive tractor, while the 980 DT added mechanical front-wheel drive. And honestly, I think I seen it on a dairy somewhere. I'm not sure. Back when we used to have dairies around here, and that was the first front-wheel drive tractor I'd ever seen before. So that's why I remember it somewhere over there in Custer County. I can't remember who it was. So for a farmer who needed roughly 90 horsepower at the PTO in the early 80s. 980 set in a pretty useful spot. And you know, that's when the round balers started coming out, and blah, et cetera, et cetera. It wasn't a big row crop brute, but it wasn't a lightweight utility tractor either. It was the kind of tractor that made sense on a diversified farm, hay, livestock chores, auger duty, light field work, and plenty of odd jobs. So that's why I think it was a big hit with like dairies. And so with front wheel drive and a fairly manageable footprint, it had two things that mattered most. And a chore tractor, traction, and the ability to get out on its own. So there you go. One of the features, the cab, is probably one of the most interesting parts of the 980, especially if you're looking at it through the early 90s or 80s eyes. Heston called it a super comfort cab. And it was standard equipment with air conditioning, optional equipment, and included a radio, cassette player, and even a CB radio, which is one of the most wonderful little period correct details, immediately dates the tractor in the best possible way. I think that's when they come out with a SoundGuard cab too, in that same time frame, same era there, if I remember right. And Eugene McIntyre had a Heston dealership downtown Sweetwater years ago. Yeah, I remember that. Now, thank you, Justin. Let's see here. What else is there to... Why didn't they sell better? This is the last part of it. The easy answer is to say American farmers didn't trust Fiat tractors. But that's probably too simple and probably not totally fair to the farmer either. Some of that was real, of course. Heston was a strong hay equipment name, but it wasn't Deere, IH, Alice, Case, Massey, or Ford. In this horsepower class, farmers weren't just buying iron, they were buying dealer support, parts availability, resale confidence, and just being familiar with it. They wanted to know the local mechanic had probably seen one before. Fiat Heston just didn't have the dealer network to go head-to-head with the heavy hitters. The biggest problem was timing. Fiat and Heston were trying to grow North America tractor sales as late as the 1970s boom turned into the 1980s farm crisis. Debt, high interest rate, weak commodity prices, falling land values, and export trouble all hammered American agriculture. Farmers held equipment longer, dealers' lots filled up, and manufacturers across the industry took a beating. So the 980 got caught up just in a bad spot. It had the specs, the cab, the engineering, point blank. These were really good tractors, but they arrived in a tightening market and asked farmers to trust a brand arrangements still trying to explain itself. Now, there you have it. Pretty cool deal on Heston. And matter of fact, one of my listeners was asking me about the white tractor, so I'm going to do a little see if I can find out some information, a good story on white tractors. Pretty interesting. All right, let's take a Wheeler General Store break, and we'll be right back.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Southwest Overhead Door has provided sales, service, and installation of garage doors to Western Oklahoma and the East Texas Panhandle since 1980. If you're in the market for a new overhead door for your home or business, let Southwest Overhead Door show you their selection of quality CHI overhead doors by visiting 1000 South Merritt Road in Elk City, or visit them online at swdoorelkcity.com. A CHI overhead door professionally installed by Southwest Overhead Door provides beauty and value to your home or business.
If you've been on the fence about upgrading your tools, this is your sign. It's Milwaukee Trade-In Month at NAPA. Bring in your old tools, even if they're worn out or broken, and trade up. Save up to $250 on Milwaukee items, like a Milwaukee half-inch impact, serious power, even better with trade-in. Upgrade with what you've got or add to your lineup. It's Milwaukee trade-in month at Napa and Elk City, Weatherford and Hinton.
Out here in Western Oklahoma, you can't settle for building something average. You need to build something that lasts for generations to come. At Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culver Stone, owners Damon Culver and Terry Stone bring together the strength of the ranch and the style of the city. Custom barnuminiums that turn heads. Metal buildings built tough enough for Oklahoma, but designed to feel like home. Wide open living spaces, clean lines, and smart design. From a working shop to a high-end barn dough, this is where function meets finish. When you build with Damon and Terry, you're building with guys who know this land and know how to build homes right. Every home built is more than just a project. It's personal. From Damon drawing up the blueprints to Terry making sure every last detail is absolutely perfect. Start your custom build today, designed for the way you live. Visit Culverstone Homes in Elk City and see what happens when grit meets style. Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone. Built for the land. Designed for the way you live.
Hi folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma, or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weight, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op Gym at 720 South Main in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. That's Farmers Union Co-op Gym, 720 South Main in Elk City, 580-225-0191.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Let's check out the Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. Let's head to Mountain View. 75 degrees, dew point 62, humidity 63. The winds are out of the east, southeast at 7. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 71 degrees. 8:37 sunset, 82 and partly sunny today. 90% chance of rain showers tonight, 59 for a low. Tomorrow, 80 for a high and rain showers likely. 60% chance with the winds out of the northeast to east light tomorrow. Looks like a nice day, and I hope your picnic gets rained out. That's all I can tell you. We need the rain. I hope everything gets rained out. I don't care if it's golf, farming, whatever. Rain it out. So that's the way it goes. Sorry, that's just my attitude today. So it was an interesting deal brought up on that with the white tractor. I seen this. This was a forum, and this guy comes on there and he goes, okay, this may come across as a mini rant, but I wonder to myself, why do people hate the white tractor so bad? And I remembered it wasn't the most popular tractor. I don't think they hated the tractor, as you know, who or what it was, even though we know who all of them was when they merged. Did it frankly come down to the silver paint job for you guys or what exactly? And he said, I love my tractor. It was great on fuel. It was nice to handle and it was just a great tractor. I guess to me, I think they finally got a lot of bugs worked out of the tractors once they became white, although dealer networking in the 80s didn't help them any. So what's your thoughts? He says, well, here's a couple of the answers. He said, this one guy says, I think it has more to do with the company names rather than the quality of the tractor per se. A lot of those decrying white were the old line farmers that grew up with the Oliver and hated to see the name disappear into what was perceived as a corporate merger. Kind of like CNH and International, where Case took over IH, dropped an age old farm name, then merged it with some multinational Fiat New Holland entity purely as a tractor. Whites are generally highly regarded, although the larger whites were parent bore engines, cat, stuff like that, was slightly less so, but no worse than other tractors with similar engines. I had a white 285, and it was one of the best engineered and built tractors I've ever seen. It was festooned, I don't know what that word meant, with filters all over the place, and it always had a good sign of quality engineering. It was heavier built than the competitive tractors, with more iron where it counted. It also had some features as closed hydraulics, and that closed hydraulic system versus old hydraulic system does make a world of difference. Separate reservoirs for hydraulic final drive and trans oils. Even the Speedo was a separate drive from the tack hour meter. I'd say on an absolute basis, a white was every bit as good in terms of reliability, durability, performance on anything comparable size that anybody made, which include Case, Deere, any of them. And then another comment, the last one before you get on. I always figured it was the biggest blunder white company could have made. In marketing, you never buy a name brand product and change the name. If somebody was to buy Coca-Cola out today, then change the name, I guarantee you the market, you would lose that market share. I always thought if Oliver merged, that Oliver merged could make it, but they took on the debt of the Minneapolis Moline with a tractor that didn't fit with the product line. This was a bad management decision, especially when the company didn't want to merge to start with. Interesting. Always something. Some news out of Texas from my Texas friends out in the panhandle. The Texas Park and Wildlife Department is seeking public comment on a proposal for mandatory harvest reporting for mountain lions until May 27th. Mountain lions are relatively uncommon, secretive animals that once roamed the entire United States, but today they are largely limited to the western third of the country. In Texas, mountain lions are primarily found throughout the Trans-Pecos and the brushlands of South Texas and the western hill country. I know one day I was down there on a frack in South Texas, right on the border. I could see the river. I couldn't throw a rock over there, but almost. And I was driving down the water line, frack water line, and I was looking at, like, what is that? A mountain lion sitting in the shade looking at me as I was driving down there, and he just like, yeah, get out, sir. I haven't ate today. No, so it was pretty good. Texas maintains the most flexible mountain lion regulations of any state in the country with no harvest limits. The population status of mountain lions in Texas, however, is largely unknown. So they don't even know how many mountain lions they got in Texas. The TPWD supports the rights of hunters, trappers, and landowners to hunt and manage mountain lions. Better data on mountain lion populations can help support these practices. Quality harvest data that includes age and sex of animals when combined with certain other data types can allow accurate population estimation across large landscapes at a very low cost. So, if you're for it or against it, you need to get on this form. It's if you Google Texas Mountain Lion Research and Monitoring Plan, you'll probably come up with that deal where you can put your 2 cents worth in there. The current harvest report reporting proposal says the lion must be reported to Texas Hunt and Fish app or website. Reports must be submitted within 24 hours. The report will require only the county name where the harvest occurred. Exact properties and locations will not be identified. To confirm age and sex of the animal, small tissue sample must be submitted within 60 days to complete the task. Hunter information is confidential and is prohibited from being shared per statute. So, there you have it. Interesting. If you get a chance, get on Farm Journal's Ag Web and get a click on the page that says News Machinery. And there's a really cool story in there about a Kentucky farmer who's saving thousands of dollars letting a robot run the planter that he's planting. He's got 2,000 acres in there. It's a pretty cool story. Way too long for me to put on my show. So if you get a chance, go on there. Again, hey, before I go, I was looking on the text line a while ago, and I just wanted to give a shout out here. The Cheyenne Arapahoe Red Moon Powwow is going on this weekend, Friday, today, Saturday, and Sunday. So if you get a chance to go to that powwow in Hammond, it's pretty cool. I've been to it once, and it's moving to me anyway. Get a chance to go up or try to check it out. Okay, see you guys Tuesday. No show Monday, sorry. It's a holiday. We're taking a holiday. So it's Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, America. God bless everybody.